Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 8. Book of Psalms chapter number 8. Like we do most years when we're introducing a new theme throughout the year, we spend the first usually about a month, some Sunday mornings, some Sunday nights, discussing the theme and getting our hearts ready for the year. This year's theme is Consider. And it's what I believe God would have us to take a special interest and a special look into and to give extra thought to. We began the year encouraging us to consider Christ and consider who Christ is and what Christ did. And on that day, we also looked at the fact about not only considering who Christ is and what Christ did, but also what Christ would have us to do. And hopefully we spend the last few weeks and just thinking, okay, what would Jesus want me to do? What would Jesus want me to say? How would Jesus want me to react? And then the following week, we talked about considering our latter end. And we looked at that verse in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses was there and he was trying to encourage this nation as he's getting ready to head off on the scene. And he says he wished that they would consider their latter end. He wished they would be wise concerning this. And it said, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. And we discussed how what we do today affects us later on in life, but also someday we will all end at the nail-pierced feet of Jesus. And the two different types of judgment, and for the believers, the judgment seat of Christ, and for those who are unsaved, the white throne judgment. Last week, we talked a little bit about considering your ways. We went to the book of Haggai, and it talked about how consider how we value the work of the Lord. We consider how they took care of their own things, and they took care of their own pursuits and their own pleasures, but they left the things of the Lord and the work of the Lord lie waste. And God comes to them and says, hey, I want you to consider your ways. Last Sunday night, we talked about not being discouraged, about how even though the work didn't seem like it was turning out the way that many thought it could have or should have, God's the one that's in complete control, and God's the one that knows what's going on. And as I'm doing this word study through Consider and looking at different things through the Bible, there's a verse here in Psalms chapter number 8 that is, I believe, really a powerful verse. And we'll go ahead and start here in Psalms chapter number 8. We're going to go ahead and read the entire chapter. Don't get too afraid. It's only 9 verses long. And we're only going to focus in on verses 3 and 4. But it gives you a setting here. It says, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So how excellent is the name in all the earth. You know, God's name isn't excellent in a lot of people's lives today. Actually, God's name is probably used more as a curse word than something that is lifted up in many places. But in this earth and what this earth shows and the earth demonstrate the glories of the Lord and the heavens declare the glory of God, in the earth his name is magnified. And this is coming also talking about a future day when God's name will be set above and that God's name is excellent in the earth. Interesting thing about this passage of scripture is something that looks ahead and talks about there's 3 different references from this chapter, Psalms chapter 8, that's found in the New Testament also. It says in verse number 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. So remember when Jesus had his what we call the triumphal entry into there and how the children were crying out, Hosanna, and how they were trying to get him to stop. But it talks about how out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Then he says in verse number 3, remember this is a psalm of David, and he says, when I consider thy heavens, and he's referring to the moon you see here, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. He comes to the spot and says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? When he's looking, and remember, David being a shepherd, we don't know what time of life that David wrote this psalm, but we know he spent many nights, whether as a shepherd boy or even while he was being chased by Saul outside, and he'd look up and he sees the stars, he sees the moons, and he sees the heavens. And he came to this conclusion after considering all those magnificent works of an all-powerful, almighty God. And then he looks at himself and see how insignificant he is, and he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Many times men today, and probably throughout all the generations, think kind of highly of themselves. The Bible speaks so often and so much about not being prideful, not thinking too highly of ourselves, thinking of ourselves and view and reference to who God is and how God created us and how we should be humble. And that's what David is saying here. He's saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? Verse number 5 is also a reference that's found in Hebrews chapter number 2. I don't know if you remember a few years ago on a Christmas program, we talked about Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it's 6 through 8, talking about how Jesus came to save men. And this is in reference to Jesus specifically, but also the human race and the where it was. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Remember, Jesus was high and exalted and on the right hand of the Father, but when he came to visit us, he was made a little lower than the angels, and we are made a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor, referring to Jesus. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. And the chapter begins with praise, and chapter ends with praise also. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray today that you work in our hearts and lives and gives us a good understanding of who you are. Maybe not even a good understanding, but a glimpse of how powerful and how gracious and how kind and how your name is holy. How is excellent in all the earth, and how it deserves to be praised, and how it deserves to be worshiped. And Lord, that you would light a fire in us to desire to want to know you better, to understand you. And Lord, not only as we consider you and consider your wonderful creation, but also help us to consider ourselves. Help us to see who we truly are, the limitations of man. But then, Lord, help us to also understand how you're mindful of us. And Lord, what you did for us. Lord, work in our hearts today. Help us leave this place not just considering Christ, but as we see nature and are overwhelmed by the beauty of some different things, that we worship the Creator, not the creature, not the creation, but the God who created it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't very often use PowerPoint on Sunday morning, but sometimes I do when I think it's going to be a good illustration. As you can see, when I consider thy heavens is the name of the message, we're going to see if the little PowerPoint thing works here today. If not, Mr. Cartwright's going to have to turn it, I guess, Mr. Cartwright. So when David was saying, when I consider thy heavens, he's saying when I looked up and he saw how everything was beautiful. He saw the vastness of it. He saw all the stars. And you think about it, there is a world or a planet called Earth. And you see, according to Venus and Mars and Mercury and Pluto. Now, I don't know if Pluto is a planet or not. I know there's some discussion about that, but it was always a planet when I was a kid, so we'll just call it a planet today. So Pluto there, you see, according to the Earth looks pretty big, looks pretty good there. But if you look at the next slide, you'll see that the Earth is pretty small in comparison to the rest of the universe. You got Jupiter there who dwarfs the Earth. You got Saturn. You got Uranus, Neptune. And you see the little dot there called Earth. And then you go all the way down, you see the little dot that you can't even see, but it's the word Pluto. So, well, you know, in the sake of things, the Earth has still got some size there. You look at the next slide, and you consider it compared to the sun. And you don't even see the Earth, really. It's that little dot, sort of like Pluto there. And you got all those different ones. You got Jupiter, and you got all those other ones I'm not going to try to guess the name of. And then you got the little dot, that's the Earth, and then you got the little dot of Pluto. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, lots of times we think that we're something special. We think that we're something pretty big. But when David looked out there at the psalm, looked out there at the sky, he saw all those stars. He saw the moon, and he realized, God's pretty amazing. He made all this. We got one more slide we'll show you. And it's Arcturus. It's another star. I don't believe it's the biggest star, but it's another star, one of the closer stars to us. And then you see the other ones that are there, and then you see the sun, and it's not even visible, but in comparison to the side, the Earth is there. You can't even see it. So in this vast universe that we live at, we are pretty much, as a planet, a little speck. Now, imagine there's 8 billion little specks of people here on this planet. And imagine how really small and insignificant we are compared to our vast universe. and you consider, and sometimes we're prideful. Sometimes we think the world revolves around us. You look at that, though, I don't know about you, but it humbles me to realize in this vast universe that God has created that I really am nothing. And the fact that God thinks of me and that God is mindful of me and that God cares for me and that God loves me and hears my prayers and that God sent his son to die for me, who am I to want to talk back to God? But so often we do. So today I'd like to consider for a few minutes when I consider thy heavens. So the first point is consider God. Thank you, Mr. Cartwright. You can just put the original slide on. When I consider God for a second. Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1. I know some of you saw that years before and it wasn't a surprise to you, but every time I see it, it reminds me, boy, how small the earth is compared to the sun, and then how small the earth is compared to a star that's nearby too. And you can't even see it on the scale. And what does that teach us? What does that tell us? Think about what the Bible says in Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. It declares God's glory. It reminds us of the magnificence and the great beauty and the splendor of God. It can be seen in everything he does and all throughout his creation. It can be seen in salvation. It can be seen in redemption. But the psalmist is saying that the heavens just declare, which means to make known, to tell explicitly, that when you look up in the stars and you see the stars and you see the moons, it tells you how great God is. Now, the psalmist is here and he's saying, look, when I consider that, when I take time to think about that, it changes my whole view of myself. I think there's even a couple steps farther here that I found that was interesting in this. When we consider God, think about what it says here in Psalms chapter number 8, and we'll go ahead and read again. It says in verse number 1, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. First thing I want you to think about when we consider God, we might think, oh, wow, God made this great universe or created the heaven and the earth. It's fascinating. This is his greatest work. It must have took all of his power and all his ability to do it. The answer is no. I find it interesting in verse number 3 where it used the phrase, the work of thy fingers. Think about that. It didn't even talk about using all his arm strength. I don't know about you, but I can pick up certain things with my fingers. I can do that. But sometimes I need my arm's help, my strength. And he says that God in his fingers, even just with his words, could create heaven and earth. What an amazing thought there. Not only does it say that it was with his fingers, but secondly, it says that he ordained them. He says he ordained them. Look at verse number 1. It says, and all the earth who has set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemies and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars. And then look at that next phrase, which thou hast ordained. That means he has set them in place. Now, sometimes I could pick up this cup and set this over here. I mean, I've set that in place. And at my house, I have things set up the way that I like to have them set up until my wife tells me there's a different way that I would like to have them set up. And they should change. Now, she doesn't do that. She's very kind. And if anything, it's me trying to tell her how things should be set up. But, you know, we ordain things. We put things in place. But can you imagine God ordained where the earth was going to be? Doesn't that just kind of blow your mind? I don't know if we consider that. He put the moon and the stars in the place, but he still knows our name. Think about it. He ordained them. He says, this is where you're going to go, and this is how far you're going to go, and this is how you're going to spin. This is the shape that you're going to be. It's amazing. Look, if you get any closer to the sun, we would burn up. If you get any farther away from the sun, we would freeze to death. It's amazing when you consider thy heavens. When you consider the heavens, it reminds us of how great God is and how powerful God is and how wonderful God is and how much farther God is above us. And the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So I think about God. I think about how he did it with his fingers. It says he ordained, he put them in place. And the third thing is, and it's kind of interesting, it says in verse number 1 at the end, he says, thy glory above the heavens. God's even above that. We look at it and we see the earth and we compare ourselves to just a little speck on the screen that you can't even see compared to that big star. And then we remember that God in his glory extends above even that. So that's the idea of what the word consider means. The psalmist is taking time and not just looking at something and saying, wow, that looks amazing up there. Look at that. Look at how beautiful that is. See that moon and the heavens, the stars, and how great and wonderful that is. How awesome that is. But he says, no, when I think about that, it reminds me of something about God. And it's amazing. Sometimes I read and it frustrates me. And I read and I watch videos of little people saying, looking at certain things like a Mount Everest. Somebody climbs all the way to the top of Mount Everest and praises how strong and how mighty they were because they could conquer Mount Everest and how beautiful things look. But they never give praise to the Creator. People love praising the beauty of maybe the Grand Canyon or the beauty of a skyline or the beauty, but they forget the one who hung it into existence. They forgot the one who made it. They forgot the one that is not even just the one who made this earth, but also who made the heavens. The spectacular view. The heavens declare the glory of God. So when we consider ourselves and we start thinking, why should I obey God? What is he to me? We've been talking about consider Christ. Consider what he did. Consider what he would have you to do. Consider your ladder in. There, someday you're going to stand before your Creator. And remember, consider your works. You say, why in the world should I do all this? It's because compared to God, we're just a little speck. Actually, just one of the little 7 billion or 8 billion specks on top of a little speck of an earth. So I want you to consider for just a moment or two, consider God, that it says he made with his fingers and how he ordained them and how he set them above, but also consider man. As a second point is consider man. As the psalmist stepped out to see the starry heaven at night, he thought of all God's creation. When he thought of all the glory and the grandeur of God's handiwork, he thought of his own insignificance. God gave him these words to pen, what is man? In other words, in the light of God's creation, what is man that God is mindful of him? In the light of all that God is and has done, why in the world is God mindful of man? I began looking and considering some of the studies about man and what's mentioned about man and as the amazing privileges man had as in the garden of being dominion over, and even after Noah got off the ark, talking about how the animals would fear him. But God describes man's life as a vapor, something that's just here for a period of time. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. So when you consider the vastness of creation and of the heavens, and you look at the moon and you look at the stars, you say, what is man? Why am I so important that God should be mindful of me? Why should I be someone who God allows to serve him? Why should I be? My life is nothing but a vapor. It is here for a little while and then vanisheth away. Yes, we have been, we are made with in the image of God. And yes, we do have a soul and a spirit and a body, and we will live forever in heaven. But our life here in this world is just a vapor. Also, not only this is humbling as reading through the book of Genesis again, I'm reminded, that we're made from dust. And some people say, oh, because they know where they came from, maybe from a certain area, from a certain family, or maybe from a certain state. We know what type of stock he came from. He came from good stock. And I understand what they're talking about, their heritage. But if you go back a little farther, you're just made out of dirt. That's what we all, and that's what we're going to return someday. That stock is, I was made out of mud. You were made out of dirt. And it was amazing how all creation was, the animals made out of the dust of the earth. We were made out of the dust of the earth. And the Bible says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We would be nothing but dirt without God. I mean, I don't know about you, but that reminds me when I impress with the heavens, it reminds me who God is. And I'm wondering, why am God mindful of me, but I'm not mindful of him? I mean, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But there is a God in heaven that we are supposed to meditate on and think about, but we don't even think about him sometimes. When we talk about considering Christ and what would Christ have me to do in certain situations, like, oh, that's not worth it. But God looks at someone who's insignificant and loves him. Next thing, he says that man was created in the image of God. If we just consider some basic things about man, life is a vapor. He's made from the dust of the earth. Man was created in the image of God. And God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish in the sea and every fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And we're created in the image of God. And here's the thing that kind of surprises me, and I think this is what the psalmist is getting. Man is loved by God. Sometimes we look at someone who is maybe dating or married to someone else that we don't think that they should be married to, or they're maybe married below, and they're thinking, why in the world did that person give them any time of day? Why would they even talk to them? Why would they even give them a second look? And then you consider what God, who loves us, and he has ordained us and given us the opportunity to know him in a personal relationship. When he considers the universe that's been created and consider the heavens and the earth, and when you and who we are, it just brings us to this moment in time and says, how could God love somebody like me? And the amazing thing about it is God knew you before you were born. God knows what's going to happen after you die. He knows everything you've done inside of it and everything you've ever thought. Every time you've disappointed him, every time you failed him, every positive things, every time you had. And guess what? He still loves you. As I mentioned before many times, if you knew everything I thought in the last year, you probably would be thinking, well, who's that guy up there? You know, if I knew everything you had thought or everything you've done your whole life, my opinion of you might change. But God, in his knowledge, knows all those things, and he still loves you. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Last thing about man, when you're considering man is in need of a Savior. Man is in need of a Savior. You consider the heavens, it reminds us that God knows what's best. God knows all. God has given us his book to go by. And in this book, it teaches us a man's life is a vapor. It teaches us man was made of the dust of the earth and made in the image of God. But God loved man, and God knew that man needed a Savior. For God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, when you consider the creation and the Creator, then we are humbled in understanding, hey, I am just a tiny speck on the speck of a planet compared to the rest of the universe. And God who created is telling us that we are in need of a Savior, and that God became man, was made a little lower than the angels, as it talks about in verse number 5, to die for the sins of mankind. And it shows you the love he has for us and shows us the need that mankind has. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. You say, Pastor, that's how you feel. No, that's what God is saying. That's what God is telling the world. I loved you so much. I am mindful of you to the point that I'm willing to send my Son to die for you. Now, as you're considering the heavens, see how much my ways are higher than your ways. And stop thinking, hey, I can make it my own way. Who are we? It's amazing when we see people who are emperors or people that are dictators who think they're something special. Everything we have, it comes from God. It's by his own mercy that we're not consumed. Every strength, every ability, every talent, the breath that we have, you know, the breath of life was breathed into our nostrils. If it wasn't for God, we'd still be just a lump of dirt. Third thing I want you to think about, and I think this is what got the psalmist. Not only did he consider the heavens and reminded him of God, but he also considered man. And this is what God, and he says, what is man? And here's the question, that thou art mindful of him. So the third thing, not only just consider God, consider man, consider the fact God is mindful of you. I think this is what the psalmist could not understand, or maybe what the psalmist could not get over. Man, in the pride of his own heart, seeth it not such a great matter. Man who is prideful, that says, sees the stars and the skies and the heavens and says, oh, that's not a big deal. But a man that is humble, like the psalmist, would say, why do you even care about me? Why would you even think of me? Why are you even mindful of what's going to happen to me in the end? I have a sin nature. I'm a sinner. I'm getting what I deserve. Why would you be merciful to me? Why would you show me grace? Why would you love a sinner like me? And when you take time to consider that, and when you take time to think about that, and when you take time to let that reflect into your heart, I think in the end, you're going to say, I should serve him. It should not be about what I want. It should not be about my desires. It should not be about what he has given me, his word. I should at least read his word. I should at least speak to him and pray to him. He gives me the opportunity to. The Bible says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He says he dwells with them in the high and holy place, the contrite and the humble, to revive the spirits of the humble, to revive the spirit of the contrite ones. He that has a humble spirit, the Lord will respect. Over and over in scriptures, in the book of Job, has some interesting verses, other verses that are just puts things in perspective. Who am I that God would be mindful of me? He shouldn't even be. Okay, I'm glad you come to that conclusion. Now let's consider, how are we mindful of him? It impresses. What is man that thou art mindful of him? But what the Lord has spoken to my heart about this week, okay, it amazes me, and I don't understand why a God that can create all those things, and I am just a little speck on a little speck of a planet, that he knows me, he loves me, he knows the hairs of my head, he knows, he provides all the things I need, he gives me promises, he gives me his word, he gives me an opportunity to pray to him, he gives me his Holy Spirit, he gives me all those things so I can serve him and so I can glorify him. And he's mindful of me, but how much am I mindful of him? Of course, why would God think about me? Why would God be mindful of me? The question is, why am I not mindful of him? Why is he not first in my life? If he is the creator, which we believe he is, and if we are the creation, and he has given us all these opportunities and all these ways, why do I not think of him often? Why is it such a hard thing for me to read his word? Why is it such a hard thing for me to pray? Why is it such a hard thing to submit to him and fall humbly on my face and say, Lord, I see who you are. I see what you created, and I cannot understand why you would even consider or be mindful of me. I'm the one that should be mindful of you. So as we continue on through our series, tonight we're going to look at a phrase that's found in 1 Samuel. I believe it's chapter number 12, Samuel speaking to the people after they've chosen to have a king. And he talks about how we should consider what great things he has done. I was going to spend a little bit of time talking about the great things God has done for us here, but it kind of adds to this thought. Not only is he mindful of us, man, he has done so much for us. He deserves our praise, he deserves our worship, but he deserves your service. He deserves your obedience. But the question is, are we mindful of him? Tonight, I want to look at the great things God has done. This morning, I want you to think about how mindful have I been of him recently? How much time does he get in my life? Is he first? We're supposed to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. The psalmist is out there, and I don't know if it was when he was a boy. I think it was probably when he was a little bit older, or maybe he was writing back after looking at it. I was outside last night for a few minutes looking at the stars and looking at that and just thinking, man, God created all that. And when I consider thy heavens, they're not my heavens. This is not my world. This is God's, his heavens. I mean, he made them with his fingers. He reminds me he set Jupiter over here, and he set something else over there. And it reminds me that he's above all that. And I consider my life as just a vapor, one that really is insignificant when it comes to the whole scheme of things, but one that God loves and the one God knew needed to be saved and sent his son to die for me. So God is mindful towards us. How much more should we be mindful to him? I pray God work in your hearts this morning. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.